Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right. Holy Spirit, your word is anointed. You do with it in our lives what you desire to do with it. And I pray that strength and power, if there be any lack in these areas, will come to these loved ones as they hear the word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight I'm going to be covering the subject of authority. I'm in this More Than Enough series, and so far we've covered, you know, more than enough provision. God has more than enough provision for us. And I've also covered more than enough faith. And I covered who our God is. He is the God of more than enough. That is his name, is El Shaddai, which means the all-bountiful, all-sufficient, not some sufficient, all-sufficient God. And so tonight I want to talk about authority and the believer's authority. And sometimes I need to be reminded, or remind myself, I have authority here. How many of you have had something come against you and all of a sudden you're under that heavy warfare and the devil's telling you, you know, the negative report, all of the reasons why you can't do whatever God has told you you can do, and you feel suppressed and kind of pressed down, even though you're not possessed, but you just start to feel like dazed and confused, whatever, by all that's going on. And I was taught very early on, and I'm thankful, in my sphere of influence as a child, even though there were some faulty things going on in the church I grew up in, with the legalism and all of that. But my mom and dad, very young, very early, started to teach us that we had authority over the demonic realm. We would be visited as children in the night by the demonic, many times in nightmares in our sleep. You know, the devil really likes to mess with the children of believers. He likes to mess with believers, but he also really likes to mess with the children of believers. And so it's one thing for us as parents to know our authority in Christ. But I believe we should teach our children very early on the authority that they have. And so I can remember having these demonic visitations as a child and getting up and running in my parents' room. And my dad, he would tell me, well, the name of Jesus carries all authority in heaven and in earth and below the earth. So you believe in Jesus, just you can use the name of Jesus. And he taught me how to speak to that realm. And he said, you won't always see things, but you'll feel things. And, you know, you don't have to be a seer or even a feeler to know when chaos shows up. And to know when people are acting unusual. Yeah? I mean, as a child, I'd be like, all of a sudden a person starts acting unusual. And my parents were not spooking us out, but Daddy would take me to the Word, and he would try to teach me, like from Ephesians 6, we're in this wrestling, and it feels like a wrestling. You know, you encounter someone who has demonic influence going on in their life, and all of a sudden, you feel that warfare. And Daddy would say, you know, we don't wrestle against people. You know, they're not your enemy. We don't wrestle against the person, but we're in this spiritual wrestling match, and it sometimes can wear you out. We're in this wrestling match against, and then he taught me what a principality was and what a power was and what all of these things meant. And I love the message of grace that I'm teaching right now, I personally love it. I'm very passionate about this, and I believe foundationally every one of us need to know about the grace of God, even in spiritual warfare, correct? But I never want to let go of the message of the believer's authority and the reality of spiritual warfare. Years ago, we were encountering a lot of people that had more of a devil focus than a power of God focus. You know, and that became their whole thing is the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that and, you know, the devil's after me. And it just, you've met them. The story is always about the devil. And so I talk quite extensively on the believer's authority and how we win against this spiritual warfare. There's a battle against our mind. There's a battle that's going on against the minds of those around us. And if the enemy cannot affect you because he knows that you know how to stand in your authority in Christ, he'll begin to work through someone else who does not know how to do that. And they've got every door to the devil open. And that can wear you out because you are not a guardian over their soul. You're only the guardian over your own soul. You can pray and take authority over the atmosphere, right? And begin to shift that atmosphere. But you need to do that. I've had to, not in a hateful way, but I've had to take authority many times in my workplace and begin to shift an atmosphere because there was a clash of kingdoms going on. And I didn't want certain individuals to lose their job, but I was like, Lord, the chaos they bring in the room is so bad that I pray for their salvation, obviously. I'd fast and pray for their deliverance. But if they were not willing to submit their life to the Lord, I began to pray in the spirit and fast. It wasn't long till they just popped out. How many of you have had that happen? They can't stay because you are the more powerful person. So Jesus, and I'll get into the text here in a minute, but Jesus gave every New Testament believer, say that's me, he gave every one of his New Testament believers his authority. Now think about that. If, you know, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. So it's his. And now he knows he's going to go back to heaven, and he wants to equip every new believer with the same authority that he operated with on the earth. And I'm going to get into quite a bit of text here in a minute and just show you how Jesus gained, even though he had all authority in heaven and earth, he gained more authority while he was on the earth. He did. So this authority and power is against the enemy of which we are engaged in this battle, not people. And so after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he arranged to meet the disciples outside of Galilee. And then he gave them the last commission. And I'll give you the definition of that in a minute. But I want to read something to you that my dad taught me. In Luke 10:19, it actually, what precedes this verse is Jesus is telling them, because he's about to send his disciples out two by two. And he's told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So in other words, I was there when it happened. Yeah. And he said, you know, he fell. He said, but I'm going to give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Can you imagine being with Jesus when he comes to the guy from Gadarenes? It's like, you know, thousands of voices are coming out of him and he's possessed by legions of demons and he's been tearing his flesh and he's so bad they have him chained in the tombs because this guy's like a crazy maniac. And Jesus just handles the business. Can you, I mean, you, if you grew up around that area, you knew this guy. And Jesus just walks up and just handles it. And so they saw that level of power and authority in Jesus. And now Jesus is telling them, I give it to you. In Luke 10:19, he says, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess. I like that. You now possess it. Say, I possess it right now. See, it wasn't a 10-step class. It wasn't some seminar. Jesus said, you're going to need this. I'm sending you out, and you're going to need it because you're going to encounter the demonic. You're going to encounter infirmities and sicknesses and all kinds of other things. I'm giving it to you right now, and here's what it's for. To tread on serpents, demonic powers, spirits, that's in the footnotes. So he wasn't sending them out to walk in snake pits. He's using an illustration of the demonic. To tread means to have it under your feet. To tread on the demonic spirits of power and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan. And nothing is nothing, nothing will in any way harm you. I want to go back to that phrase, exercise authority. I've given you the ability to exercise authority. You can have authority and not exercise it. So that's key. He says, I'm giving you the ability to exercise it. And I'm sending you out. And he's encouraging me, encouraging them. Nothing will harm you. I'm giving you my authority. Your job with this authority is to tread, to keep the devil under your feet, and to exercise the authority. And so that means that we have to become verbal. We have to become verbal. We can't just sit in our house and just feel the heaviness and just feel the weight and just feel the oppression, because we do feel it. And many times, you know, we just think, oh, I'm tired. I'm just not feeling well today. There's just been so much going on. You know, when you are in an oppressive satanic attack, when this happens all day long and you go to bed and you wake up and you feel worse. Like even in the night, you didn't get that kind of good rest that God promises his righteous ones, that sweet sleep. Amen? And so the enemy is going to try to torment you. He's going to try to wear you out. He's going to try to get you stressed out about the next day ahead and the next day ahead and try to forward load every bit, all of the stuff that's coming at you, and then bring other people with doors open with their stuff and try to dump it all on you. And many times we feel like we're breaking down. And so I want to tell you this. You can call for agreement and get someone else to pray with you. But when you begin to exercise authority, all of heaven understands the name of Jesus. And when it's verbalized on the earth, angels say the word of God is being spoken. And they begin to draw close, because the Bible says angels go forth at the word of the Lord. Not the word of the devil, the word of the 5 o'clock news, the word of the governor, the word of, you know, the economics, so-called professionals. No, the word of your kids, the word of whatever, not that they're all demonic, but like many times people are picking up demonic chatter. They're picking up demonic chatter. They're hearing demonic chatter. And so many people are verbalizing the way they feel instead of the way they want to feel. And so what I've done is, you know, I've had to learn this. When I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling, and I know it's not just, there's no reason for it. Have you ever had that? That's just the gloom comes and all of a sudden you start to feel hopeless about the future and like nothing you're doing is worthwhile. And you know those days when you just feel like a stump going nowhere. I realize that God doesn't do that to you. God is always invested in your destiny, and he's breathing life over you, and he's praying for you, and he's interceding for you, and he's wanting the joy that he gives to well up inside of you. And so I have learned, Satan, you say it just like that, or the devil, whatever you want to call him, punk, loser, all of them work. I bind you in Jesus' name, and I take authority over you right now and all of your foot soldiers that are working with you. And I command you to get out of this atmosphere. You're trespassing. Amen? And so I begin to verbalize that. And then what is the next thing I do? Sometimes I tell him, you know what? Jesus was there when you got flicked out of heaven and you fell on your face on the earth. And yeah, you have some authority in this domain, but God has given me power over all of your power. And I have it. And so I exercise it and I command you to get out of here in Jesus' name. And then I plead the blood, because the blood of Jesus is a terror to the devil, right? So this word commission, Jesus has taken off now, and he's told them, they've already had the power that he gave it to them there. They've gone out two by two. What happened when they went out two by two? They're casting out devils. The spirits are obeying them, just like Jesus said they would. They're exercising the authority. Well, they get all excited, and they come back to Jesus, and they're saying, man, even the spirits obey us, you know? And Jesus is kind of has one of those duh moments. If you go back and read it, you'll hear it right there. He's kind of like, duh. He says, you shouldn't be like all freaked out about that. That's supposed to happen. You have my authority. Hello. He says, you know what you should really be excited about? That your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And we've got a whole generation that have prayed a sinner's prayer, and they're excited about their name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They know they have that, but they live oppressed day after day after day after day. And Jesus was saying, the bigger deal is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The lesser deal is that you have my authority and you can exercise it on the earth, and every demon has to obey you. And much of the church lives that flipped, like the biggest thing. Well, it is the biggest thing. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, but he also came to destroy the powers of darkness. And it's a twofer. I think we rob the church in general when we don't teach them. Yeah, you're saved. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here's how you live a life abundant. You take authority over the devil. Because every single day he's going to try to rob you blind of your joy, of your finances, of your children. And so you are in a war. But you don't have to lose it. You're not a loser. Amen? So this commission, this great commission, we always say that we're connected to the Great Commission. What it means is Jesus told them, go, win souls. Teach them about salvation by grace. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here's my authority. I'm taking off now, so go do it. This word commission means the act of committing or entrusting a person, group, etc., with supervisory power or authority. Think about that. The commission is when Jesus gave a group of people that believe in him power, supervisory power. You're a supervisor. You know the bad thing about being a supervisor? All the problems come to you. I used to think, man, I want to be in management because of what they get paid. And then I got into management and I was realizing why they get paid what they get paid. Because all the problems come to the supervisor. But the church should be able to deal with the problems on the earth. If the church was walking in the power and the authority that Christ delivered to us, we would be authoritative. We would be taking charge. We would change the direction of our nation. I believe that the church is rising up in this hour. I'm not bashing the church. I really believe the church has had enough. The church is saying, wait a minute. We are the church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. It is our job to change the order of things. It is our job to begin to change the direction of the nation. We have put so-called people in authority. We voted for them and we've given them paychecks, but they aren't operating in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They're actually operating under the power of the enemy, the loser. And you know what? It shouldn't be like that. If every believer got a hold of their authority and begin to get together and agree on the earth, we would be able to take the high places and this world would be a whole different place. Amen. So this commission means authority granted for a particular action or function, a document granting such authority. You know that heaven looks at the church and says, they've been commissioned and they have the document that grants them authority on the earth. I think sometimes the angels are just sitting up there going with their legs hanging over the side going, I sure wish somebody would take authority today and speak the word. So we would have something to do, you know? I know they get scared when Mama Dita gets up in the morning. And this prayer team, this prayer shield team. The verb definition is to authorize. Send on a mission or assignment in another stead. We are sent on a mission in God's stead. In his name. And it means to elevate in rank. I talked about this on Sunday. To elevate in rank. So the moment that Christ gave them his authority, they were immediately elevated in rank. Think about that. If the most decorated military officer on the planet walked in the room, we would all stand up and honor that level of rank. And Jesus outranks them all. Walks right up in our life and says, you see all these stripes? I earned these. And I earned them for you. And now I bequeath them all the decoration, all the power, all the authority to you. We wouldn't know what to do with it. Here, let me put my hat on you. Let me pin all of these stripes on you. That's the way the demonic world sees you, but you've got to see yourself that way. There's nothing worse than a highly decorated military officer who doesn't know what that means. Correct? It's just a uniform and a bunch of little jiggies up here on the chest. I tell you what, those in the military know what those bars mean. And there's immediate honor because of what those represent. And I want to change your thinking tonight. I'm not going to have time to get into all the text. I will paraphrase. In Luke 4, Jesus is taken into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tested of the devil. Jesus had miracle-working power. We can all agree. He turned the water into wine. And he told, you know, his mother, it's before my time, but she was like, these people have no wine. You know, that's a sad wedding when you don't have no wine. Anyways, they run out. And so she's like, do the miracle. And he said, she said, do what he says. So he does the miracle. So we see he has miracle working power. But his real ministry, like his power ministry, did not begin until he had this showdown with the devil. So he goes out there and the devil tests him. And I won't go into all of the tests, but he tests him in every point. You know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What is that? Power. I'll give you all the nations, you know. I'll put you in a position of authority, and you'll rule and reign over people, and I'll give you all this, like the devil's trying to give it all to him. And Jesus comes back to him, as it is written, and you can go back and read it. Every time he comes back to him with the word, he stands on the authority, even though he is the word, he is the authority, he is still in human flesh. Jesus had to do everything the way we do it. He modeled everything for us. And he is about to be elevated to a whole nother status on the earth But he has to go through this first. What are you going to do with your demonic encounter? We've got to do exactly what Jesus did. He stood on the authority of the word. And he was tired and he was hungry. He'd been out there fasting for 40 days. And, you know, he stood on the word and it was enough. Everybody here tonight? He knew it was enough because he knew himself. He knows he's more than enough. He still knows it. And so he doesn't come back at him by engaging him in a conversation, the devil. He doesn't. He doesn't have a long interaction with him. He's hearing all these offers. I'll offer you this. I'll offer you that. And Jesus is like, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. He uses the authority of the word, which he's given to us. It's ours now, right? And it says there that after a while, Satan, Jesus basically rebuked him and told him to get behind him. I like that. Get behind me, where you belong. Because he's trying to get him to worship him. I often say that to the devil. Because, like, do you ever feel like he's in your face? I always tell him, you know, get behind me. In the old days, we would have told him to kiss our, you know, I don't even want him kissing it. I want him down here, right? Seriously. And Jesus is indignant. He's like, how dare you provoke the Lord your God? You know, who do you think you are? Get behind me. Where you belong. This is exercising your authority. This is Jesus exercising his authority against the devil himself. I mean, he casts out all kinds of devils out of people. But this is him dealing with the devil himself. The authority of his word. Putting him behind him where he belongs. He engaged in a verbal interaction with the devil. He didn't sit there and mentally pray that God the Father would deliver him from all of this stress and pain he was in. If Jesus had to get vocal, so do you. I'm going to reiterate that. You got to get vocal, okay? And so then when Jesus leaves there, the whole chapter of Luke 4 is a very important chapter. It says that Jesus left that encounter with the devil armed with the Holy Spirit's power. That's what it says. He left armed with the Holy Spirit's power. And he returned to Galilee. And then his fame began to spread. You know, I believe there's so many people that got fame before they got armed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes? And that's why we see pimps in the pulpit, prostitutes in the pulpit. We see all this stuff happening around the nations. And, you know, I don't want to blast those that just got into some flesh thing, but there are literally those, they have no heart for God. They have a heart for fame, a heart for influence, and a heart for notoriety, and they did not go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're encountering the demonic, and they're losing. You know, this stuff brings reproach to the name of our Lord. But there is still a remnant that loves God. They love purity. They love the power of God. They want to please God. They know they're in a battle. They know they need to be armed with the power of God. They know that God is raising them up to influence nations. They know that when they go there, there will be manifestations. I feel the power of God all over me. They know that if they can't conquer the enemy that comes to them in their bedroom, how are they going to conquer the enemy that comes to them in a third world country? Amen. God is raising up those that know that they have more than enough authority to get the job done. And Jesus went out from there and he began to cast demons out and all over the place. He's doing all these miracles and he comes to his hometown. He can't do any. And he begins to talk about how that even Elijah had to be sent to a widow in Zarephath away from the place where he could have had provision. He said there were many widows in the area where Elijah was, but Elijah, think about this. The prophet, with all the authority in the Old Testament, had to leave certain areas because he had that power and authority, but he had to go to certain areas away from the people whom he was in front of to even receive provision because there were people over there that honored the power and the authority that was on his life. And so there's more than enough authority on the earth and power on the earth. There are believers walking around with it, but who knows? Maybe the person that has the power and authority that has your miracle all locked up inside of them has become so familiar to you that you can't receive from them anymore. I would encourage you, look around the room and do not underestimate anybody that you're sitting next to. You may have lived in the same house with them. You may have attended the same church with them for 15 years. But God has put some power and authority on the people around you. We have to be able to honor that. Amen? In order to receive our miracle. And I'm going to start to land the plane. But as Jesus is like getting down to the end of Luke 4 here, I want to read this one verse to you. In verse 40, if you guys could give me that, verse 40 through 44, and I'll just finish there. It says, demons also came out of many of them, knowing that Jesus was the anointed one. The demons shouted while coming out, "You are the Messiah, the son of El Shaddai." We started this series with who is more than enough? El Shaddai, Shaddaim. The demonic said to him, "You are the anointed one, the son of El Shaddai." They recognized his authority. Think about that. You are in the Son, and the Son is in you. And the devil can see who's in you. And who you're in. And we need to remind ourselves, when we get up in the morning, the devil is thinking, there is the son of El Shaddai. There is more than enough power right there. There's more than enough authority. There's more than enough faith. But they don't know who they are. Ooh, I'm going to have some fun with this one today. No more. No more. Amen? You have more than enough authority to get the job done, but you have to get verbal. Amen and amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I promise you, I'll get you out of here on time. I'm going to pray this prayer because I wrote it in my devotional. I'm going to pray this prayer tonight. And it's not super lengthy, but I want you to repeat after me because I want you to say it with me tonight. Say, "Lord Jesus, I praise and thank you for giving me your authority over all the power of the enemy. And for the promise of your protection as I exercise it. I refuse to live oppressed by demonic powers because I possess all power and authority. You gave it to me. I boldly take ownership of my supervisory role and take charge of the atmosphere I find myself in. I'm not waiting for my heavenly assignment because you've already given it to me. I'm a supervisor and I can handle the problems that are brought to me in your name. I believe you will give me divine appointments as I step out in faith." Hallelujah. Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. You know, if you've never received Jesus by faith, you've just heard about him and you think he's a cool guy and, you know, you're interested in spiritual things and perhaps you're interested in how to have eternal life, I want to give you an opportunity to have that assurance. Jesus said, "I came to seek and save that which is lost. I didn't come for all these well people. I came for those that are broken and hurting and lost and need healing, and the sick, that's who I came for. And he said, if you come to me and believe in me, you'll have eternal life. Very simple. And he said, I won't reject you. Never, never, never. So we like to give you an opportunity to get verbal. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart, he said this through his apostle Paul, if you believe in your heart that I died on the cross for your sins, because there's a death penalty attached to sin, if you believe I died on the cross to take the penalty, and then you declare out loud that you want me to be your Lord, then you'll be saved. That's it. And so tonight, I'm going to give you a chance to get verbal and tell Jesus, who loves you, that you believe him. Say this, Lord Jesus, I believe by faith you died on the cross to take my sins and my penalty and give me your life. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Fill me now with the Holy Spirit power that you walked in, and help me to live a victorious life. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What just happened? Bible says you became a new creation. You were just born again. You may look the same, but you won't feel the same. Trust me, you're going to be on fire and like all lit up in love, interested in God. Get a Bible, start reading it, start in the book of John, get into a good Bible-believing church, and if you don't have one, tune in online and get everybody that you know to come with you over here, because we'll be your family. Amen? If you need prayer, the team will be here. I love you all, and I'll see you Sunday.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.